Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Rod, you wrote a piece at the American Conservative, The Bigot Bumper Sticker. I bet you there's a lot of bumper stickers out there right now that could be considered bigoted.
Yeah, the bigot bumper sticker. This is an incredible story, John, and it's the kind of story that we're going to be getting. We better start getting used to. Turns out that one of the readers of my blog had printed from Zazzle.com a few years ago a bumper sticker that said "Unborn Lives Matter." Well, he went recently to reorder some more of those, and Zazzle said, "We're not going to print this because this violates our content guidelines." He went and looked at the guidelines. There's nothing. He didn't do anything. But Zazzle does, as a private company, reserve the right to refuse anybody's business. So what seems clear to him, and I think he's right about this, is they didn't want anything to compete with Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. The point is simply this, though, John, that we Christians and people who are generally conservative are going to find ourselves unable to do business with people who don't want us to get our message out.
All right. So it's a complicated question, right? So whether we're talking about, you know, Master P Cake Shop or Baronella Stutzman and her flowers, or, you know, Zazzle and the, you know, Unborn Lives Matter thing, there are fine lines between religious freedom and discrimination and artistic freedom. I mean, if you're familiar with those cases, it's kind of interesting how they came down. So now you say in your blog, Rod, that you're actually kind of on Zazzle's side, where you think that they should have the right to say, no, we don't want to print this.
Well, that's right. And I'm on their side, even though I think they're wrong, for the same reason I'm on the side of Jack Phillips at Masterpiece Cake Shop. People should be free not to contribute their labor to promote messages that they don't agree with. The point is, though, that I think Christians need to keep in mind is that this is how corporate America is moving. A lot of Christians like to think that if we just let the marketplace work, things will sort themselves out. It doesn't really work that way in real life. You have a lot of these companies that are run by people who are very much on the left and who think that Christians, conservative Christians especially, are the enemy, and they don't want to take our money.
Right. Okay. So corporate censorship. Now, this is a fairly new thing as well. Just recently over the weekend, or maybe late last week, Target was involved in an incident of corporate censorship. Rod, please tell us the story.
Yeah, this is an incredible story. There's this woman. She's a modern Orthodox Jew named Abigail Schreier. She's a journalist who's contributed to the Wall Street Journal. She's pretty well known. She has a new book out about the transgender craze and how it takes advantage of the anxiety and depression among teenage girls. Abigail Schreier is very open that she supports the right of transgender people to transition as adults, but she thinks there's an entire industry that has come up within educational circles and psychological circles and medical circles that force teenage girls to transition. Target took her book off the shelf because of a single tweet by a trans activist criticizing them. And she eventually got it back on, but she has found over and over, Abigail Schreier has, that there's been this massive attempt to censor her. Her original publisher turned her down. Nobody will review her book because nobody wants to get grief from these trans activists.
Right. Yeah, and you know, Rod, Abigail's been on our show, and I've read the book. John, I know you've read the book, and she did a really long interview with Joe Rogan about not just the book, but about all of the fallout after the book. It was really well done, and it does make you stop to think that if people knew the type of pressure that was exerted on companies by just a single individual, and the likelihood of a company to cave to that initial complaint, you would really stand up and take notice. And the Target story doesn't end there, because enough people complained about the initial complaint, and now Abigail Schreier's book's back on the shelf. Am I right about that?
You're right about that. I heard over the weekend, though, that J.K. Rowling's newest book, there's a lot of pressure within bookstores and within the retail industry not to put it on the shelves because transgender activists hate J.K. Rowling's position on trans. These are things that go on behind the scenes that most people don't even know about. But what it's doing, it is radically narrowing the range of expression in our society. And all it takes is a few elites in gatekeeper positions to decide that this is something we're not going to talk about. We're not going to let anybody else talk about it either to affect this change.
Right. Okay. So at the same time, then, you know, from a leftist attitude, anything goes, right? I mean, Amazon is selling something called chest binders. Talk about that, Rod, because, you know, it's not just the right that's being censored. If you're left, well, you can just do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's generally true when it comes to anything LGBT. And there are things being sold, John, like small prosthetic genitalia for little kids who want to transition. You can buy these. And this is the sort of thing that they see this as progress. The left sees this as progress. It's demonic is what it is. But this is where the marketplace is going. We don't have a free market anymore. That is an illusion. People who object to any of this are being censored and pushed to the side. People who want to promote it, they not only have the voice to promote their ideology, but they also have the corporate infrastructure to back it too. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if I agree with you on that, Rod. I do think we still have a free market. It just requires a lot more investment from people who are going to push back on it, the Target story being a perfect example, right? If people would not have heard that Target took Abigail Schreier's book off the shelves and then got in touch with Target and said, hey, listen, you don't know what you're talking about. That book should be on the shelf. Then Target would not have put it back on.
Good point, Kathy. But this is what I'm worried about in the long term. Is that banks and financial firms and other gatekeepers to the marketplace are going to quit doing business with conservative Christians or anybody else they declare to be deplorable. This is already happening in the UK, where far-right activists have been locked out of their normal checking accounts. Now, I don't have any sympathy for the politics of far-right activists, but once that we cross that line and where certain people are allowed to have access to the financial system and others aren't, simply based on their politics, their religious beliefs, we're in real trouble.
Right. Okay, so then, Rod, what is the response? If you're a conservative Christian and you want the free market to continue to flourish, how do you respond to this? I mean, you can't, like, you know, follow everything on Amazon and, you know, sort of silently monitor stuff. The marketplace is huge.
That's true. I think what we have to do, John, is first of all, educate ourselves about the dangers to our liberty coming from what I call in my book, Live Not By Lies, woke capitalism. And we need to pressure our legislators to pass laws that keep the marketplace free, that don't tell us we have to buy from here, but keep it free and make it impossible to punish people for their political and religious beliefs by denying them access to the market. I think that another thing we can do is start building networks of commerce outside of those that are controlled by Amazon and the big companies. Find your local Christian retailer when you can and do business with them, because they're the ones who we can count on when the chips get down.
Yeah. Well, we remember, James Damore. Remember that story,
oh, sure,
Rod?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Google.
Remember, you know, he got fired from Google. I mean, that was like kind of the first, I don't know if that was the first shot across the bow, but it's one of the initial ones I remember. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just signals that something's changed, that we're in a different space. We're in a different time. I don't know. I really want to be a person who speaks up when I see something like that happen. But I also am concerned that I'm going to be an obnoxious person who speaks up. So, Rod, talk about that. I mean, we know the political climate we live in, yeah. And I don't want to turn into an obnoxious, you know, stark raving mad person who not only is, you know, discounted by the opposition, but instead I just dishonor God by my poor attitude.
Right. They'll call you a Karen. My wife hates that term so much. She says that is the word used to try to silence women who want to speak up when they see something wrong. And I think she has something of a point. I think we have to speak up, Kathy. We really do. That's what my book, Live Not By Lies, is about. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Soviet dissident, said to his own people before those Soviets kicked him out in 1974, said, we may not be able to change this government, but the one thing we can do is refuse to go along with their lies. Mm-hmm. So when we see something false being said. We stand up and we say we don't agree. And even if it's just a matter of walking out, we have to at least do that so they don't think that we consent. We may not be able to change things in the short run, but we can at least have our integrity. And we can at least stand before God and each other and know that we have done the honorable thing for the truth.
Very good.
Okay, but let me just say that Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a man of incredible intellectual depth. And so what he has left for us to read is amazing, right? What the stark raving lunatic people on Twitter are the people I'm afraid of, right? The people that just sound nutty as they're trying. So like they're kind of, quote, on the same side I am, but I don't want to be associated with them because they sound nuts.
I get it. But we can't be intimidated into silence because we don't want to stand with the crazies on our own side. We just have to be discerning. And there's no easy formula for this. But I see so many good people intimidated into silence because if they're in middle-class circles, middle-class professional circles, for example, they don't want to be thought crazy. But if we continue to be silent in the face of this sort of thing, we're just undermining our own liberty, and eventually they're going to silence us. We're not going to have any choice in the matter.
Right. Rod Dreher's with us. His latest book, Live Not by Lies, A Manual for Christian Dissidents. So, Rod, how do we do this? I mean, you don't want to be pegged out as a Karen or a Ken. At the same time, you want to speak up. I mean, you got to look at the political landscape and go, here we go again. I mean, we're going to be silenced here in a very big way.
Yeah, we are. You know, you read my book, and I've been on the show talking about it, John, that the example that I like to follow is by that great priest in Croatia, Father Kolakovic, who saw communism come into Slovakia and gathered Christians together in small groups, not only to pray, but to talk about what was happening in their society, to discern what was going on in light of what they knew from the Bible, and then to figure out how to act responsibly. I think that's really the only way to do it. And that's a good method for any question that comes up. There may be times when silence is the best thing. There may be times when we have to speak out. But I think we have to discern it prayerfully and together. Mm-hmm. And we can't just sit back and let somebody else tell us what to do. Some activist group in Washington who has us on their text list or their blast facts. You know, this is something that needs to be done locally with our pastors and with Christian friends that we trust.
Rod, I've heard so many good things about this book. I mean, I'm really excited to check it out. I think the thing that I love most about it, just from talking to you over the months about what's inside, though I have not yet read it, is just the fact that you spoke with people who were sharing their lived experiences with you. This is not, you know, we've stepped out of theory and we've stepped out of crazy Twitter, and we're actually talking to people who are telling you, hey, this happened to me.
Yeah, that's been my experience with it, too. And the thing that people really seem to love about this book or the real life stories. And that's the thing that gets to people, because they, you know, you can talk to them about your theories and your abstract critique of society and secularization and all of that. But what people really respond to are the actual testimonies of Christians who've been through things like this before and have practical advice for us.
Very good. Rod, always a pleasure. Listen, thanks for your excellent work. We need you and more like you on the front lines. Always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks so much, Gary.
Our pleasure. Rod Dreher. He is a senior editor at the American Conservative. His latest book, as we said, Live Not by Lies, A Manual for Christian Dissidents.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.